I'm grateful the woman at the front desk is a scentless beta. She takes my name and smiles, typing a few words before she offers me a wide selection of beverages, from champagne to kombucha. There's barely enough time for me to settle into a seat with my freshly brewed tea before one of the doors behind the desk opens. A female alpha in a mint green pantsuit steps through it, already beaming right at me. Miss Skies? I've always liked female alphas. Male alphas tend to be openly aggressive, but their female counterparts often channel their inherent dominance wisely. Usually they're extremely organized and diligent in their care of others. Their no-nonsense authority was a common influence in the group homes I grew up in. She watches me stand and carefully collect my bag and teacup, waiting patiently while I gain my balance before offering her hand. I'm Celine, she says, grinning. I'll be the one working with you today. The faint scent of eucalyptus rises off her chest, tinged with the distinct edge of, nope, that tells me she's already bonded. I notice a claiming mark along the side of her neck, nearly hidden behind her smooth blonde bob. Her smile grows as she reaches up to gesture at it. You'll see that I'm a big believer in our system. It's how my pack met our Omega. This was 10 years and 3 kids ago, and I'm still obsessed with her. She laughs lightly. At least she'd say so. I'd prefer to say I'm madly in love with her. Obsessed sounds like a word Meg would jokingly use to describe her guys. I grin at that thought, pleasantly surprised not to feel a twinge of envy at the thought of happily bonded packs. In its place, there's a hum of anticipation. Maybe. Maybe this will work. Oh, God. What if this works? Celine's grin turns knowing as she senses my budding eagerness. Right this way, Miss Skies. Or do you prefer Remy? She isn't holding a folder or cheating off a tablet. She actually knows my name. As someone who's been shuffled through every branch of government childcare and more free clinics than I can count, I'm already impressed. Remy, I demur, nervously fiddling with my purse strap. Remy, she smiles again, waving over her shoulder. Follow me. We walk down a standard white hallway and find ourselves in a suite. It definitely doesn't feel like an exam room or a place for corporate meetings. Instead, it's a comfortable, luxurious space reminiscent of a hotel room. There's a neatly made bed off to the left, surrounded by a canopy and flanked by 2 small storage tables. On the right, a seating area with 2 armchairs and a love seat takes up more than half of the room. Celine leads me to the side and lets me settle myself into the leather love seat. From the coffee table, she produces a tablet and an electronic pencil, deftly tapping at the screen while she sits back with all the confidence of an alpha in her element. After a moment, she sets everything in her lap and smiles over at me. All right, Remy. I'm sure you're curious and a little nervous about how things are going to go, so let's go over it. First, I'm going to review the intake questions you answered. She gives an amused look. Some of these questions may seem pretty invasive, but you're free not to answer. But remember, we're trying to create a complete picture for your future pack, so there's really no need to be embarrassed. I can guarantee they'll want to know everything about you. I can't help but smile at that thought. Okay. Okay, she repeats, nodding firmly. Once we're done chatting, we'll collect your scent sample. It's a simple swab. She flips the tablet back open, already poising her pencil over the pad. First up, favorite scents. She calmly raises her eyes to mine, waiting for me to realize she's asking me for my favorite alpha scents. I'm lucky my darker complexion mostly hides the blood rushing to my cheeks, otherwise I'd be bright red. Years of people-pleasing kick in, and the urge to be amenable is overwhelming. Anything is fine. Celine frowns, the expression unwittingly fearsome. Remy, that just won't do. We are here to find your perfect matches. Possibly, if we're lucky, sensitive mates. If we want any chance of that, you have to be completely honest with me, okay? Little does this nice lady know, I can't even be completely honest with myself. I swallow past a dry throat, nodding. She smiles again. Good. Trust me, I've heard it all before. Nothing you say will shock or offend me. Forcing myself to relax, I blow out a tense breath and sink back into the love seat. I like food scents the best, I admit, hiding behind the rim of my teacup. Sweet stuff, mostly, and, coffee. Her brisk, business-like nod reassures me I'm not a freak. Excellent! And any alpha scents that make you uncomfortable? Too many. Growing up in group homes, being shuffled from foster home to foster home, there are far too many alpha scents I could never feel safe around ever again. A whine rises to my gullet as I repress a wave of unpleasant memories. Celine waits, professional as ever, until I finally peep. Nothing industrial. Leather, metal, oil, smoke. She nods, reading the same response on the questionnaire in front of her. And do you prefer a pack of all alphas, or alphas and betas? And how many packmates? My eyes fall to my cross knees. Anything is f- Celine clears her throat, disapproving. Remy. I wince at being caught in another fib. The truth is, after years vying for scraps of affection in foster homes, I wouldn't want to share my alpha's attention with anyone else. If I find a pack that somehow actually wants me, I want to be the center of the pack. I think I'd prefer all alphas. I feel another flush move unseen over my face as I think about my heat needs, namely the number of vibrating alpha substitutes it takes to survive on my own. I'd need at least two, if they're athletic. Celine's pink mouth twitches. Or perhaps three or four would be better, she suggests, all tact. I cringe with my whole body. Probably. Three sounds good. No more than four. I expect some form of judgment, at least a raised eyebrow. I'm basically admitting I need three grown alphas to keep me satisfied. But Celine smiles again, pleased with my honesty. We'll omit any packs that include industrial scents and limit our search to all alpha packs of three to four. Excellent, she goes on. Now, heat history and preferences. How many heats have you had, Remy? I squeak, counting. 3 a year since I was 16, so more than 20? The alpha levels me with a look of deep concern. All on your own? I don't know why her sympathy makes me want to cry, but I have to swallow down a thick wash of sadness. Yes, I use medication to dull the pain and suppressants to keep me lucid and safe at home. She seems to sense I'm not finished and waits for me to go on. I swallow hard, forcing my voice not to shake. A few years ago, one of the doctors at the free clinic recommended I do an unsuppressed cycle to help ensure the suppressant's continued success in the future. I ended up going to a heat clinic and remembered sensations sweep through my body, shooting pains from my elbows, chafed from hours of presenting, the shivery claustrophobia of my small, sterile cage, rough hands on my hips, bruising, squelching soreness in my core. It wasn't for me, I finish weakly. I've taken care of myself ever since. Grief darkens Celine's eyes. Not for much longer, okay? I promise, we'll find you just what you need. She seems so sure. I try to absorb that certainty and let it soothe me. Okay, what's next? Next, we'll collect your scent sample and put it into our system, along with all of this personal information. If there's a match, it will pop right up and we'll call them in. My heart seizes in my chest. Call them, as in right now? Today? Yes, right now, today. She smiles, the expression knowing. My guess? They'll rush right over. Chapter 8. Remy. This is amazing. You know, sometimes it really seems like my best friend just likes to watch the world burn. Meg! I hiss into my phone, pacing. You never told me they were going to match me today. For fluff's sake, I didn't shave my legs. She snorts. Is there a sink in that suite? Meg! Okay, okay. She chuckles. I admit I didn't research the exact timeline, but listen, it's going to be fine. What's the worst case scenario here? She plugs your info into their system and you leave with scent-matched alphas who are scientifically guaranteed to adore you? Well, when she puts it like that. Still, though, 2 days ago, I wasn't even sure I wanted scientifically matched alphas, and now a group of them might be barreling toward forever matched as we speak. If I hyperventilate in this room, I hope Celine won't be too mad or get in trouble. She's going to hate me, isn't she? Remy, Meg says, softer. Stop all your people-pleasing nonsense and talk to me. Do you want to leave? You know I'll jump in the car and come get you right now. I'm scared, I admit, dropping down into the love seat. Meg hums. I was too. That's normal, I think. But if they're right for you, they'll make it all better. I can't explain how it works. It just does. I don't have the heart to point out that she's unique. Most matches aren't as strong as hers. Scent sensitivity is rare. I know that my chances of finding it are already way higher just being here, though. If she comes back with a match, just ask Celine if you can postpone the first meeting. Meg chips. I'm sure they allow that. I'm nodding. Stupidly, since she can't even see me. When the door to the suite sweeps open again, it's Celine, beaming, with a folder in her hands. Here's the thing about the best laid plans. Celine crosses her legs, sitting opposite me once more. She watches my face carefully as she sets the folder on the coffee table and flips it open. My back instantly goes ramrod straight. A slight smile crosses her features. I thought so. I barely hear her over my own pulse. An erratic pound fills my ears while I stare down at the unassuming folder, not understanding what's happening. There are alpha scents in the folder? From where I'm sitting, I can only sense the combined aroma of a pack. Brown sugar sweetness and dark chocolate, undercut by something deliciously bitter and masculine. A whine climbs up my throat and Celine's smile grows. Here, she says, picking up a stack of note cards and handing them to me. These are samples from the alphas. Tell me what you think. But I can't think. My lungs stutter the second I inhale, spasming as painfully as the desperate emptiness in my core. All the muscles south of my waist clench and gel, the sensations a melting, aching sort of pleasure. I whine so loudly that the sound echoes back at me, tingling over my hard nipples to sink into the frantic beat behind my breasts. Oh my God! Oh my God! Their scents are a maelstrom of pleasure and pain. Or maybe just pleasure. So strong, my nerves sizzle and snap like they've been singed. Frantic urgency sweeps through my body. I pant from the force of it, trying my best to think through the haze tunneling my vision. It's hard to wrestle control of my faculties away from my Omega. As far as she's concerned, she's scented her mates, and she wants me to move my butt. I reel myself back in, forcing deep breaths so I can think long enough to at least distinguish what I'm smelling. The pack alpha scent hits me first. The rich, delicious bitterness of strong coffee. It's the strongest of the three, but only just edging over the others for only a few seconds before they all melt back together. The coffee is layered over dark, melted chocolate, aromatic hazelnuts, luxurious smoothness and flaky salt and nutty, buttery perfection. It's already everything I could ever imagine and more. But then I catch the last scent in the trio. My mind goes blank while I sway, dizzy. A blend of warm autumn spices. It naturally complements the dark chocolate and toasted hazelnut. But this alpha is almost sweet. Not too sweet, but there's definitely brown sugar, nutmeg, allspice, some sort of earthy undertone. Oh my goodness, it smells like pumpkin bread. They all go together perfectly. My vision feels blurry, and no matter how much oxygen I pull into my body, my chest feels like it's caving in. Remy! Celine's voice is jarringly firm. Dazed, I realize she's probably been calling my name for a couple minutes. Her serious tone finally manages to cut through my haze. "Remy," she says again, smiling slightly. "Did you hear me?" I shake my head, surprised it doesn't wobble right off my neck. Her grin grows. "This is the Pearson pack," she repeats, "and you have a match quotient of 98%. Do you know what that means?" My voice shakes.
No.
"Most believe scent sensitivity begins around 95%, but of course there's no way to guarantee the math."
"Because no one can prove scent sensitivity biologically. It just is. Like wind, something anyone could feel, but no one could quite describe the shape of.
Exactly like this." Celine's eyes bore into mine, impressing the importance of her final statement. "Which would make these alphas your mates."
Chapter 9. Smith. If I had $100 for every time I'm interrupted by a second call while I'm already on one, I probably wouldn't have to work this hard. I've been in the car half the day and on calls for all of it. At least when I'm driving from one building site to another, I can use Bluetooth. Otherwise, I might develop some sort of repetitive strain injury from holding this goddamn phone all day. That would be pathetic, honestly. But not all that surprising. I should probably work out with the guys more often, but there's never enough time. Or the right time. Somehow, the days seem to slip by faster and faster, but they also pile up. And I'm tired. Down to the bottom of my bones. But this thing keeps happening whenever I try to rest, where my mind pings restlessly, and the guilt that lives under the pit of my stomach rears up. Then my rest is fucked anyway, so I get up and get more shit done. Last night, on top of all my work shit, I also got out 18 emails from Cass and Damon's agents, freaking the fuck out about Damon being a dumbass and getting into some fight after the game. For a minute, the messages blasted me into the past, when I was still in my mid-20s, trying to finish a degree and work 10-hour shifts while saving up to get our pack on its feet. The guys used to get hauled in for shit all the time. School faculty, coaches, gym teachers. Damon cheating on tests. Cassian beating up punks in parking lots. Jesus Christ. We're all grown men now. I thought those days were behind us, but apparently not. I've been meaning to talk to Damon about his penalties this season, the same way I've intended to speak to Cassian about his worsening depression symptoms. There never seems like a good time, though, when we only pass each other occasionally in the mornings. We probably should have discussed the forever matched shit more, too. After we decided it was the best way forward, we never sat down to hash out what exactly we were looking for. Hell, I don't even think I know. Maybe there will be time when the season is over, in May. Although, fuck, May is overbooked on demolitions and rebuilds. Or June. Someone's birthday is in June. It isn't Cass. He's December. I thought Damon was in September. Dusting construction debris off the pants of my navy suit, I fold myself back into my Range Rover. Just two more places to stop, and then, maybe, I can get dinner for all of us on the way home. We could sit down and talk this through. A beep interrupts the latest update with my lead contractor at my newest build site. Annoyed, I click off one call and answer the unknown number. "Pearson." The voice on the other end is professional and crisp. "Mr. Smith Pearson." "Yes, this is Forever Matched." My entire day screeches to a halt. I freeze, my hand falling from the gear shift. "Yes?" "We have a match for your pack. A female Omega. She's here now, actually. Would you like to come down and meet her?" Chapter 10. Damon. Who the hell thought I was mature enough for this? Well, no one, actually. I just happened to be the closest, according to Smith. He called me in an angry panic, demanding I rush over to Forever Fucked or whatever it's called. I still can't remember when I walk in the front door. All I know is that I'm nervous in a way I never expected to be, and I have to keep wiping my damp palms on my gray joggers. Shit. It would have been nice to have some notice, so I could have looked at least a little put together, but when they called, I was in a session with my personal trainer, trying to sweat out a shitty morning practice where Coach kicked my ass. Like everything Smith picks out, this place is nice, with a capital N and a dollar sign where the C should be. The instant I walk in the door, not going home to change feels like a mistake. I had time to shower after my workout, but between the sweats and the bruise over my right eye, I'm most definitely not at my best. Will that matter? Do I care? Yeah, I think I actually do. Especially when I take my first breath of sweet-soaked air. What is that? There's no one at the front desk in this place, or maybe they're just on a break. Either way, I can't wait for them to come back. I have to follow the hum that suddenly crackles through my blood, pulling me to the door on the right side of the reception area. I throw it open and charge through, only to collide with someone crossing from one room on the left to a different one on the right. Oh shit, I curse. I'm so sorry. I've got to stop bumping into people. I already have a black eye and a gnarly bruise on my jaw. The last thing I need is to ruin my face permanently. We all know it's the best thing I've got going for me, aside from my slap shot. And I blink down at the small person who just recoiled from our collision. It's a woman, small and dressed in a pretty pink, and completely frozen, staring at me. For the most part, I'm not a huge fan of mute staring. It happens a lot with fans, ever since I got signed and had a few videos go viral on TikTok. Normally, I prefer the people who just bustle right up to me and shove their boobs into Sharpie into my face. The lurkers usually feel awkward at best. Not this little thing, though. The way her blue eyes turn to saucers is actually adorable. And, you know, I did run into her. I smile. Open my mouth to say hello. But the whole world evaporates into nothing the second I breathe. Holy, ever-loving, fuck, Omega. It's weird having one single moment when I suddenly understand so many things about myself and the universe all at once. This is it, though. This is everything. What was I doing before? Must have been stupid. Nothing else could possibly matter this much. My whole existence just turns, flips, focuses, until the rest of the world feels like a blur. And she's crystal fucking clear. Does my brain even work anymore? I can't seem to discern what she smells like, only that it's absolute world-ending perfection. Every receptor in my mind lights up in pulses. My mouth waters, teeth aching to bite. Claim. Clamp down on her neck while I sink my knot into her tight little body and stay buried in that flawless skin forever. What am I going to do first? Pick her up and purr for her to get on my knees and show her the way she'll sit on my face every morning? Jesus, Big D, get a grip. This is a literal stranger, and I just mowed her down. Her hand floats up, absently pressing to the small swell of her chest. She blinks, two hazel blue eyes beaming up at me from a face with dainty features and an upturned nose. All of it just as gorgeous as her warm brown skin. I've never seen eyes like hers. Blue and brown and gold, spinning pretty patterns, and leaking tears? Is she crying? I think the fuck not. Unable to stand it, I curved my shoulders forward, forming a protective barrier between her and the rest of the world. All of my instincts turn on a dime, shifting from carnal claiming to comfort. "Hey, pretty girl," I say as softly as I can. "I didn't mean to scare you. Are you okay? Did I hurt you?" She shakes her head, the movement slow and dazed. "No, I'm sorry. I realize we are not alone. When a female alpha clears her throat pointedly and curls a hand around the pretty girl's bare shoulder. "We were just moving to a meeting room. Remy's alphas are on their way." Remy. I like that. Short and sweet, just like her. Off the ice, I'm not usually aggressive to other alphas, but I hate that this one is touching the little Omega standing in front of me, especially since she seems overwhelmed. I suppress a snarl, glaring at the female alpha. "She's clearly upset," I husk, trying to keep the growl out of my voice. Turning back to the Omega, I have to ball my hands into fists to keep from reaching out to touch her. "Whatever it is, it will be okay," I say, knowing my words may be bullshit, but also knowing I have to make this better somehow. "Is there anything I can do to help?" She blinks, obviously startled. Can't say I blame her there. I'm startled, especially when I notice that her gaze snags on the big purple circle around my right eye. She winces, and one of her hands flinches up as if to touch it. "Are you okay?" she asks in a small voice. "That looks like it hurts a lot." Actually, it does, but no one else bothered to ask. "Yeah," I replied, dumbfounded, and getting dumber with every pull of sweet-soaked oxygen. "It was my own fault, though." She frowns, and even that face is beautiful on her, all ponderous and pouty. "Let me guess, you make a habit of running into people?" she asks with a scolding twitch of her eyebrow. An uncontrollable grin stretches over my face. "I sort of do, actually. I'm a hockey player. We like to ram into each other, like bumper cars on ice." Her second brow joins the first, casting me a dry look of disapproval. Looks more like you made someone mad and they punched you. Holy fucking shit. She's so cute. And, you know, correct. My well-deserved bruise smarts when my face splits into another involuntary grin. "You calling me a liar, pretty girl?" She sniffs, giving a clogged little giggle sound that goes straight to my heart. And maybe my cock a little bit, too. I'm only human, okay? "I would never," she says, but there's a little slyness to her eyes that I love. Her focus drops to her feet. They're as dainty and adorable as the rest of her body, clad in pretty silver sandals. Sympathy and a surge of protectiveness rise inside of me. My inner alpha lunges like a dog on a leash, trying to strangle himself to get to her. Jesus fuck. Down, boy. For all I know, this girl belongs to some other asshole. But I can't just walk away from her. I need to make sure she's going to be safe. And it's just that. A need. One that pounds in my blood, my ears, my brain. Whatever else I do, I must make sure this sweet thing is okay. The female alpha stops staring daggers at me, her frown turning puzzled. She shifts the tablet in her arms and taps at it. "You said you play hockey?" I nod, unable to look away from Remy's face a second time, even when the other alpha chuckles to herself. "Ah, that explains it," she chirps, flipping the tablet closed. "Remy, this is Damon. He's the star forward for the Orlando Timberwolves, and he's one of your alphas." Because she's all I see, I notice every flicker on the little Omega's face, the way her eyes go round and her lower lip quivers. For one heart-stopping second, I think she might cry again. But then she smiles. It's a wobbly, watery thing, but it hits my heart like a flaming arrow. And I am all the way in.
Chapter 11. Remy. There are rules for Omegas. A lot of them aren't official. No one will put you in jail if you break them, but no one will care if something terrible happens to you either. Omegas shouldn't walk home alone. Omegas should wear decenter. Omegas should find good alphas to claim them so they aren't as appealing to unbonded alphas. And if an Omega follows all of these rules and still somehow sends an alpha in rut, well, that's bad luck. Biology is just a fact of life. So there are rules. And generally, I'm a person who follows the rules, likes them even. But this alpha, he makes me want to break every rule I know. I don't think I've ever met a single other person who's as handsome as he is. Black hair cropped short on the sides and left in tousled disarray on top of his head. Full sculpted lips, high prominent cheekbones, and an angled jaw wide enough to balance out his Roman nose. I don't know where to look first. After a dizzying bounce, I land on a set of aqua blue eyes. They're so gorgeous, it's easy to forget the purple splotch covering one of them. His scent doesn't help my memory. The blend of warm autumn spices is mind-bending. It takes me a moment to match him with the scent card Celine gave me. Good Lord. This model, beautiful, broad-shouldered, pro-athlete alpha smells like pumpkin bread. That makes me want to smile, but my body has other ideas. Goosebumps break over my skin as my knees wobble. I'm grateful I have both hands pressed to my chest. My arms hide the way my breasts peak, nipples stiffening, while my lungs shudder around air that tastes like him. A whine sails right out of my mouth. The exuberant smile drops off his face, leaving him slack-jawed as he stares down at me. Giddy vertigo bends my mind as his scent swells, growing warmer, pressing all around me. A rumbly sound echoes behind his navy t-shirt, but he quickly catches the maybe growl, maybe purr, and coughs over the rest.
"Sorry," he apologizes, his voice a full octave deeper. "I'm just... am I... you feel this, right?"
I feel like my legs won't hold me up much longer. Turns out, I'm right. As my consciousness returns, I'm utterly heartbroken. I'm asleep? I knew all of this had to be a dream. That alpha was far too beautiful to be real. Loss echoes through my middle, and I whimper, not wanting to open my eyes and lose the illusion. Based on how warm I feel, I'll probably crack my eyelids and find myself on the floor of my closet, wrapped in my oversized hoodie again. Only, sweatshirts don't vibrate. Oh, fluff. Did I leave one of my alpha substitutes on the floor of my closet nest and roll on top of it? That is just humiliating on way too many levels. I cringe automatically, recoiling into something solid that moves. A deeply unattractive squawking sound leaves my lips as my limbs twitch in all directions. A dark, warm laugh has me whipping my head to the side, where I find myself face to face with the alpha from my dream. Damon. He's real? He's here? He's holding me? Fond amusement lights his aqua eyes while they drink in my shock. "Hi, pretty girl," he says, softly smiling. "You went down hard. Are you okay?" "Went down? I went down on..." Oh, he means I fell down. Good Lord, I'm turning into Meg. His features soften the longer we stare at each other. One of his huge callous palms comes up to brush my hair over my shoulder, rubbing my back gently. "Remy, I need to get myself together. If he thinks I'm scared or too timid, he might decide he doesn't like me enough to introduce me to his packmates. Is he their alpha? He certainly seems strong enough, though he doesn't have that steel, weighty dominance that usually smacks me in the face when a pack leader walks into a room. His energy is more electric. Even so, I should be trying to make the best impression possible. My lower back bows forward while I attempt to straighten my posture and paste on a pleasing smile. "Yes," I answer. "I'm..." hopelessly awkward. "Just fine, but I'm sorry I fainted." Damon's smile comes easily, stretching his plush lips over perfect white teeth. According to Celine, it happens all the time. That's why the couches in these meeting rooms are big. Room for us alphas to make our omegas comfortable. I guess passing out is common for omegas when they meet there. I feel a spark ignite in my middle. Mates? His blue, blue eyes never leave mine. Mates, he repeats. The purr in his chest gets louder, unwinding the last bit of tension twined around my lungs. When he feels me relax, his features soften. For a moment, when his focus flickers to my lips, I think he might try to kiss me. But his attention darts to the corner of the suite, one eyebrow quirking over his bruised brow bone. Celine also mentioned that there are cameras in here, multiple times. A spark of mischief touches his expression as he bends closer. Apparently, I don't look very trustworthy. He doesn't, especially with that sexiest sin look in his eye. But every neuron in my brain pumps out geysers of oxytocin, telling me he's safe. For the first time in as long as I can remember, I feel protected. His arms flex, our hug heart-renderingly tender, as he holds me in his lap. I carefully trace a finger along his black eye, biting my lip lower. I can't imagine why. He grins, his pumpkin spice scent thickening. This alpha likes jokes and playfulness. Okay. I nod to myself internally, frantically taking mental notes. I can do that. It's going to be essential for me to learn all of them as quickly as I can. The faster I make myself useful to them, and the happier they feel around me, the more likely they are to want to keep me.
Chapter 12. Cassian. It starts when I get out of my car. There's a current in the air, snapping, crackling, pulling me closer to the unfamiliar building housing Forever Matched. If I looked down and found a steel tether sprouting from my middle, I wouldn't be surprised. It would make sense, given the insistent tug I feel. Every time I inhale, the air seems to seep right out of the bottom of my lungs, adding to the sensation yanking me toward the double doors. The second I step inside, I know. This is why my Alpha had no interest in any other Omega, because somewhere out there, we knew this was waiting for us. Cake batter, honey, and lavender, all baked into warm, heavenly perfection. Softness and sunrise under the sweetest edge of ecstasy. Omega. Everything inside of me lurches. I barely have the wherewithal to hold myself in check, collaring the beast inside of me trying to snap its binds. He fights at the stranglehold, pushing pure need into all of my pulse points. Rut, knot, bite, claim. I freeze, locking myself down, as every urge that's been dormant for years surges to the surface. The world is a blur, fading into background noise as my eyes finally focus, taking in the quiet, calm lobby laid out in front of me. There's no one here. Am I crazy? Have I had some sort of break with reality? Maybe. Because there actually is a beta woman at the front desk. I hear her speak to me, but I can't see her. My eyes are locked on the door to the right, as if I can somehow see through it. The woman keeps talking, ignorant to the fact that my ears are buzzing with urgency. When she gestures to the same portal I can't stop staring at, I practically tackle the goddamn thing out of my way, bursting into a hallway where a well-dressed alpha woman waits with her arms crossed. Instead of offering resistance, she waves me toward a room and casts me a, well, get the hell in there look. My mind races, trying to process the perfume in the air. Is it real? Am I in control? God, what if I go in there and hurt them? I hate the answer my body gives me, because it does not care.
Nothing short of dropping dead will stop me from getting to the Omega, filling the air with gentle lavender and bubbling honey. The door disappears. Did I open it? Melt it with the heat pouring off my body? Who gives a shit? I step inside the plush hotel-like suite, finding my most self-involved, least emotionally mature packmate, cuddled into the sofa with a small Omega bundled in his arms. The way he's holding her, I can't see her face right away, but her sweet, honeyed scent strokes its way into my lungs, curling there until my nerves vibrate in pure pleasure. Holy fuck, was that a purr? I swear to God, I've never made that noise before. They both startle at the sound, turning in unison to look at me. Damon could be a piece of furniture for all that he fades into the background. My eyes loop over the Omega's face, desperate to drink it in. She's beautiful and delicate, with the most unique honey-brown complexion and shining black curls and hazel-blue eyes that look like butterflies' wings. Remy. The name is torn out of the very bottom of my soul. I haven't said it in years. Now, as it rolls off my tongue, it feels like some secret hope I didn't know I had. Could it really be her? Here? Now? Where is here? I don't know. I can't remember where I am or how I got here. All I know is her. That skin, those eyes, and this is her scent? The lush aroma of fresh honey cake swirls off her, a complex, deeply sweet fragrance, almost caramelized, but with the distinct edge of something delicate and floral. I hear myself grunt, but I don't have enough blood left in my brain to parse why. Because my cock and knot are throbbing. The need to rut prowls under my skin, pushing its way to my blood, stripping my sanity away beat by beat. For one manic moment, it seems like I might not be the only one on edge. The Omega scrambles to her feet. She makes a strangled sound, confirming that she's the girl I used to know when she breathes my name.
Cassian?
Before I can find the ability to think, fresh sweetness soaks into the air, thick and warm and hot, each lungful is straight from an oven full of my favorite things. I feel the scent roll into my entire body. Every nerve crackles, a wash of hot sensation blazing over my skin. Fuck. Fuck. The moan that pours out of her is new. Very fucking different from the little giggles and sighs she used to make when we were teenagers. No. This is the sound of a full-grown woman who's just scented something that's making her wet and weak. How is this? Am I? Is she real? A mirage, maybe. She always looked like one, even back then. If I feel her face, will she shimmer and disappear? One of my hands floats up, fingertips grazing the smooth skin of her rounded cheek. She feels real. Warm. Soft. Shaking like a leaf. So much is the same. Her colors. Her fine-boned hands ringing together. Those blue fucking eyes. And the clip in her hair. She starts to speak, but winds up pressing her mouth closed. Those lips. I remember those two. So plush and pink. And I remember thinking they couldn't possibly be as soft as they looked. They move now, forming the only word that could convince me any of this is actually happening.
Bear? Is it really Hugh?
She gave me that nickname as a joke, after I told her all of the guys on the team called me Beastly, and confessed I wasn't really sure how I felt about it.
You're not a beast, she'd huffed, adorably indignant. You're a bear.
I remember blinking at her. Excuse me? She had flashed a smile. The small, impish one I liked best.
Yeah, you're a big, snarly, furry guy, she'd said, gesturing at my long hair. But then, when we're on the roof and I get cold, you keep me warm. Big Bear.
My eyes trace over the cliff, holding her black curls away from her face. Breaths heave in and out of me, but the rest of my body is frozen in place. Numb lips move without permission. Speaking the nickname, I only had the balls to call her a handful of times back then. Butterfly.
Chapter 13. Remy. Dark, melted, chocolate, aromatic hazelnuts, luxurious smoothness and flaky salt and nutty buttery. My life flashes before my eyes while I perfume, instantly dousing my panties in slick and thoroughly embarrassing myself to the brink of death. Oh, my Lord. I've had this dream before, too. A full-grown alpha male, Cassian, who wants me in a way my half-grown, almost alpha friend Cassian never did. Forest green eyes that stare me down with intent instead of pity. The dream is familiar, but it's not usually so vivid. Besides, Cassian wasn't designated when I knew him. I never got to find out what his scent was. So why can I taste chocolate on my tongue and breathe the rich scent of hazelnuts? Am I in heat? Is this some sort of episode? Am I going to wake up with padded cuffs on my wrists or Meg shaking my shoulders? What other explanation could there be? Aside from the obvious, which becomes more and more likely the longer I look at him. It's really Cassian. And he's here? He's here, in this room. One of the scent cards in the file Celine gave me. He's here, and he smells like everything I ever imagined my perfect mate would. Dazed hope sails through my mind, but it can't sink in. I've spent too many years denying it, banishing it, bashing it into pieces tiny enough to bury. A manly version of the boy I once knew gazes back at me. Tension and 10 lost years have turned his familiar features into something just new enough to thrill me, yet still so like the almost alpha who appointed himself my unofficial protector. His brows are thicker and more pronounced, but I recognize the scar slicing through the left one. The rest of his features are broader now, a slightly wider nose, a larger mouth, his cheekbones sharper and thicker. Shining brunette lashes surround his dark green gaze, highlighting the whites of his eyes and the dusky half-moons under them. He also has a few creases on his forehead and a fair bit of dark stubble along his firm, flexing jaw. But his hair is still too long, thick and deep brown, the color matching his dark chocolate scent, and the cleft in his chin still makes me want to smile. He growls, low and pained, saying my name again. Remy. The air shifts, pressing his thick, aroused alpha maleness into my skin. My body reacts instantly. Every nerve sings, hitting a high note. My vision tunnels, the edges blurring while my heart pounds harder and harder, sending fresh waves of prickles over my skin and shivers down into my core. Another whine slips up my throat when I feel myself perfume, the tingly, wet release that always sends a skitter up my spine. It's hard for me to feel appropriately horrified about it when my body aches like this, though. A sudden desire to nest overwhelms me. I want a dark, quiet place surrounded by fuzzy blankets and cushions and smelling exactly like these alphas. Just the thought of going home to my closet nest makes me want to burst into tears. Cassian reaches for me, his hands curling under my forearms to offer support. Remy, he repeats, then steps closer, murmuring the other nickname he had for me. He only called me Butterfly in private as a joke, but usually around the others I was... Rems? I... Should I run? Hide? I've never been so mortified or overwhelmed. He hasn't done anything to deserve being abandoned. But that isn't what stops my feet. It's the sound of him trying to strangle a purr in his chest, and sort of failing. Usually purrs are reserved for intimate partners. The fact that he's working overtime not to make the sound for me finally spills the tears pooled in my eyes. Is he trying not to scare me? Or is he rejecting me? A rough, dry palm cups my cheek, lifting my face. I look up to find solemn green eyes staring just inches away from mine.
Sorry, he grumbles, voice vibrating with the rumbly edge of a growl. I'm not going to hurt you. I'll give you back to Damon.
Another whine flies out of me, even sharper than the last. Cassian heaves out a gust of relief, instantly snapping me closer, cradling me tightly against his enormous chest, and the crisp white button-down stretched over it.
Fuck, he pants, speaking into my exposed shoulder. When they told me you had to move out, I didn't know what the fuck to do.
He swallows thickly, his voice dropping lower.
I worried.
That sounds a little more believable, at least. Cassian was always overprotective. He hated that I had to climb up on the roof to meet him for our pre-dawn picnics of pilfered baked goods and library books. He never liked it when any of the other guys teased me or followed me around the common areas, and he especially loathed letting me walk anywhere alone in the dark. Part of me always knew he'd be worried when he found out I'd been moved to the Omega home. I felt bad for not saying goodbye. But once my perfume started, I was absolutely horrified by the thought of accidentally perfuming around him and revealing how he affected me. I already lived under the mantle of constant rejection. I really didn't think I could handle the look on his face when he scented my arousal and balked. Only, that's not happening now. The whole room is practically soaked in my honey-like scent, and he's still here, holding me and... hard as steel? I squirm back, horrified by the way my body is forcing a reaction out of his. Sorry. Behind me, Damon groans, dropping his head back to the couch and palming the front of his joggers. Holy fuck, that is so good. Jesus, sweetness. Why would you apologize for making me feel like I just saw God? Cassian seems less certain about how he feels. Something pinches the space between his eyebrows. He grunts, shifting away from me. Embarrassed because I felt him? Or mortified by having me as their Omega? I smell Damon's pumpkin spice just before I feel his hand on the back of my head, petting my hair, softly. When I turn my head, he's smiling. You two have met before? It takes a second for me to register his question as a joke. It must be obvious Cassian and I have met before. I mean, my thighs were almost clamped around his hips. Cassian doesn't turn his head as he replies.
This is Remy from the group home. The one I've told you about.
Chapter 14. Damon. I'm a dick. After spending 10 years telling my packmate he was either crazy, pathetic, or some morbid combination of the two, shit. I'd wait 10 years for her too. This fact obviously stuns Remy. She blinks at Cassian in complete shock. The scent of honey cakes gets richer. The lavender even more of a tease. Good, sweet God. She shakes her head, her dark curls bouncing. I don't understand, she whispers. We were just friends. I thought I irritated you. You were always annoyed with me, telling me I wasn't being safe. I watch Cassian's gears grind in his skull. His lips part, but the only sound that escapes is an unintelligible huff. I laugh. Classic Cass. Let me guess, he snarled and grunted at you all the time? Yes, she giggles. It's not his fault, though. I was annoying. I followed him everywhere when he was at the home, and I woke him up most mornings before the sun even came up. Oh my God, she is so cute. I want to rip her out of Cass's arms and cuddle her forever. Instead, I lift my hand to touch her cheek. I can't imagine you ever annoying any of his sweetness. Her perfume is perfect. And knowing that burst of sweet sin came from something I said, my knot swells, ready to fill her until neither of us can move. Drawn by forces beyond my control, I shift closer, not stopping until my shoulder is pressed against Cass's. Our quietest packmate snarls softly, his face pulling into a pained look. Can't let her go right now, he mutters to me. Sorry. Then to her, sorry, butterfly. I know you must want Damon too, but it's taking all I've got not to claim you right now.
She looks startled again, but her scent stays purely sweet. I'm so confused, she whispers, looking back at him. You want me?
Cassian is fierce when he wants to be. Fire snaps in his eyes as he stares back at her, scowling. Not just that. I want to take you home. The same way I wanted to take you home every single day when neither of us had one. Part of me wants to pout. Leave it to Cassian to be a grumpy asshole and yet somehow kick my ass in the romance department. I don't think I even care, because Remy's beautiful face softens in awe, and the tears shimmering in her blue-gold eyes make me weak. Her lip trembles while she blinks at Cassian.
You did?
He did. I can vouch for him. Getting our pack a real home always meant more to Cass than it did to me or even Smith. I never connected the dots, but it makes sense. He didn't want a home for himself. His alpha wanted one for her. My heart cramps, aching as I watch the two of them relearn each other's faces. After a beat, I cup my hand around Remy's, turning her attention to me. What do you say, pretty girl? Come home with us? Remy looks between the two of us. She shrinks down a bit, uncertainty filling her face.
That's what you want? She asks. You want... But your alpha has to say yes first, right?
Oh, fuck. Right. As if Remy somehow summoned him, I hear a clipped voice in the hallway, along with some shuffling. Leave it to Smith to delay getting his uppity ass in here so he can review paperwork with balls of steel Celine out there. I don't know how our sweet Omega can sense that the leader of our pack is about to come in, but she straightens, turning to the door and quickly smoothing her pretty pink skirt. I'm not sure I like the apprehension and anxiety on her face. Why is she so nervous? Smith is going to eat her up.
Chapter 15. Smith. I like lists. Plans, proof, projections. Logic and preparedness have served me well throughout my life, even when it was painful. I was raised to believe there's a correct way to do things, a right way to be. It's the reason I decided to pay out the ass for a scent-matching service, so I could know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'd made the right choice for my pack. I figured it's science, right? How could they be wrong? I still don't know. All I know is the second I walk into the room, I feel her scent in the air. My body goes numb, a high-pitched sort of whistle reverberating in my eardrums like a gunshot. The air in my lungs contracts into two leaden balls. They drop down into my stomach while I pant, inhaling harder, trying to just breathe. But I can't. Can't breathe. Can't think. Can't make a decision or a plan. My chest heaves. Mine. Honey. Mine. Lavender. Mine. All mixed into something lusciously smooth, delicious, and nostalgic. Cake batter, maybe. Fucking hell. What is that? Our Omega. The force of my will must send a pulse through the air that only she can feel, because the second the thought rips through my mind, she stands up straighter, visibly quivering as a burst of perfume fills the space between us. Jesus, fuck. That scent. My dick throbs while hot blood pulses to my knot and saliva pools in my mouth, begging me to bite. And whatever bolt of dominance she felt from me did that? Is it possible she'll like giving me control as much as I enjoy taking it? I smother a growl in my throat, pressing my heels into the floor so I don't leap across the room and take her pretty, unmarked throat. She's honey and heaven, wrapped in pink silk. I don't know whether it's her pheromones or mine, but I would swear there's an ethereal sort of glow around her, like she absorbs sunlight or slicks it over her skin before she leaves the house. I expected to feel fuzzy, but my mind is sharper than it's ever been. My eyes trace over her, taking in every detail, her carefully painted nails, the delicate bows holding her dress up, the unique patterns in her blue eyes. "Pretty girl," Damon croons, his voice unnaturally soft. "This is Smith. Smith, this is Remy. Remy. She's beautiful. Impossible to look away from. Familiar. How do I know her? How could we meet without me scenting how fucking perfect she is? I'm not sure, but I do know that the instant stab of horror in my gut feels foreboding. Despite that feeling, she's so clearly lovely. Scent and every other sense agrees. The only thing I don't understand is the sick roll in my stomach telling me something is wrong. Is it instinct? Does my alpha want me to know there's something wrong with this omega? No, that's not it. My alpha is begging me to get closer, more like demanding, actually. She doesn't feel the same way. It's obvious when she steps back, eyes widening, the warm cake-sweet scent filling the room singes. One word falls from her mouth, filled with trembling dismay. You. Me. She knows me, too. I look closer, searching for any small hint as to how. Her eyes flash to mine, the motion quick and fearful. With that one squared glance, recognition hits me square in the gut. You're the barista, I say, dread washing through me. From proper coffee. Her sweet scent burns. And you're my boss.
Chapter 16. Remy. I stare at the alpha in front of me, blinking in disbelief. It's him. The perfectly tailored navy suit, the terrifying scowl, the monogrammed cuffs, the same ones that flashed under my face as he splattered steamed milk all over me a few days ago. Three letters, embroidered in no-nonsense navy. S-C-P. Now I know the S stands for Smith, the P stands for Pearson. The C must stand for that one rude word I don't even like to think to myself. It all makes sense. Their file said that the Alpha owns a property development company. Smith must develop the properties and then invest in businesses. He's one of the Alphas who's been stomping around, throwing orders at me. In fact, this Alpha is the worst one. He fired Nan, and he's the only Alpha who feels entitled to bark at me. Faster! If you can't do your job, I'll find someone who can. We don't have all day to deal with your incompetence. I don't give a fuck what your excuse for being pathetic is. The longer I stare, the worse it gets. I recognize his watch, too. Its flat, gold face caught the light as he tossed his scalding drink in my face. His cufflinks, too, each one a simple gold bar with smaller bookends on either side. I know all of these tiny details by heart, because he shoved so much dominance and intimidation at me, I've spent the last 2 months unable to look up at his face when he speaks. Fear seizes inside of me while my mind races, trying to rationalize, attempting to make sense of how he could treat me so callously while smelling so utterly perfect. His scent? Why didn't I smell it in the coffee shop? As soon as I get close enough, I assume the coffee grinder was the source of the earthy, overpowering aroma of fresh coffee. But maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was him. Now that he's here in person, I sense that bitter richness underscoring Damon and Cassian's sweeter scents. It's him. His smell. The same one I, ironically, fantasized about for years. Because he's part of this pack. The pack I'm supposed to be scent-sensitive to. Weeks of him yelling at me, calling me names, barking orders. That must be what sent my Omega over the edge.
He's the reason I've felt so erratic and uncomfortable lately. Even when I didn't recognize him, she did. And his actions were a heck of a lot worse than any average rejection. It could also be the reason I felt so frazzled and hormonal at work. My body reacted instinctively to his proximity, even when scent neutralizers inhibited my mind's ability to comprehend why. Frustration creases his features while he stares back at me, scowling. If I weren't so devastated, I might be annoyed that the expression does nothing to diminish how handsome he is. Between his square jaw, straight nose, and thick blonde hair, it's undeniable. He's shocked. That makes sense, too, assuming he never really looked at me too closely. I wear tons of de-scenter to work, and the other smells in there are so strong, he'd never scent me inside the shop. Between that and my oversized clothes, I'm sure I didn't seem too interesting. No. To Smith, I was just another servant, someone weaker and smaller. Meaningless. Certainly not good enough for him, or his pack. My scent burns, along with any hope in my heart. No matter how much I denied it to myself, for a few minutes I really did think Damon and Cassian wanted to take me home. I believed it was finally happening. Am I really this naive after all these years? Haven't I learned better yet? The queasy sensation in my stomach is so familiar. My eyes prick with tears. I know this feeling. It's a warning. My body is ramping up, filling with adrenaline, preparing for the pain. If I don't leave first, this pack alpha will ask me to. And the last thing I want to do is burst into sobs when this gloriously handsome, horribly cruel man rejects me. I move toward the door, darting around Damon and Cassian as I whisper, "I need to go." Cassian starts to protest. "What's going on?" I swallow a whine, unable to even look at him. If I do, I won't be able to move. And I need to. The ever-darker scent of smoking coffee grounds underscores my anxiety. Smith is furious. I chance another glance at his face and instantly regret it. Lord, why does he have to look like this? It's a good thing I didn't have the nerve to glance up at him all this time. If I had seen just how gorgeous he is when he's angry, I might have just dropped to the floor of proper coffee and presented. Oh my God, what is wrong with me? "Rems," Cassian says again, his voice edged with alpha insistence. "What happened?" I shift on my bare feet, trying to ignore the slippery slick gathered at the top of my thighs. "I just need to go," I blurt, humming with the desire to flee and hide. Cassian lumbers over to me, reaching out to touch my cheek again. His face drops into a fearsome scowl, but pure pain streaks through his eyes while he mutters one word that absolutely breaks my heart. "Already?" He doesn't seem angry. He seems like a man who's been having the best dream and was just told it's time to wake up. Resigned, but not ready. Wistful for something he's still in, but knows he's going to miss immensely. Like he had feared this moment since he saw me again. Like maybe he actually does want me to stay. Damon chimes in, his voice closer than before. "Of course you can leave, sweetness. I'll drive you home right now. But I think we all want to know why you're in such a rush all of a sudden." He appears at Cassian's shoulder, pinning me with those light blue eyes, so full of hope and worry. "Please." I stare up into their faces. Cass's craggy, with heart-wrenching longing, and Damon's full of hopeful eagerness. The twin scents of hazelnut and autumn spice wash over me, banishing a bit of my panic. They steady me while I wipe at my face, sniffing and gesturing.